Well, good morning, everyone, and I thank all of you for being here on this cold, cold morning. We do have so many out with illness, and the ones that are here are coughing and sneezing and carrying on, so it's just one of those times that we got to go through, and we're just thankful everybody's here, and we do have some visitors, and we're so thankful to see you. Please come back every chance you have because you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village. Good to see you. You know, we're very rapidly approaching the end of another year. Tomorrow will be the first day of 2018. And if all goes as planned on the first Lord's Day in February, Jane and I will enjoy being here at Prairie Village for 5 years. And I find that very hard to believe. Someone once wrote, "Be careful of your time, for it is the stuff eternity is made of." Now, while I don't agree with the theology of that statement, there is no time in eternity. There is validity, though, to its implications. Think about our time. It is an absolutely priceless commodity. For once it is gone, it can never be bought back at any price. Nor has anyone ever found a substitute for time. It is one of the factors of life over which we have no control. Yes, we can use time as the Lord gives it to us, but we're unable to turn back the calendar or to relive a single day or a single hour or a single second that has slipped into the past. None of us will ever have the time it took me to begin this lesson again. I'd like for you to come with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, specifically chapter 39, where we'll read verses 4 and 5. Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5. David wrote, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Now when David wrote, "Make me to know thine end," he wasn't talking about how he was going to die. What he was talking about was pondering the uncertainty and the brevity of life. He was recognizing that all the joys and all the times and experiences of life could quickly and finally be snatched away just like that. He was doing what everybody needs to do from time to time. And there is an interesting statement made by Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 through 4. Please come with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 speaks to this very issue again. Solomon wrote in verse 1, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Excuse me. "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Oftentimes we find that the death of a loved one or a friend will cause people to do what Solomon was talking about, or what David was doing. They will seek to know the measure of their days, in order to evaluate their time and how best to use it. Brethren and friends, how often do we say time flies? Old folks used to tell me the older you get, the faster it goes. And you know what? They were right. The speed by which time goes by is frightening, if we think about it only from the perspective of this life. I can vividly remember when they rolled my son down the hall in an incubator and I could reach my hands through those rubber gloves and hold him completely in my closed two hands. At his next birthday, he will be 63. He's also a retired school teacher and a grandfather. It seems like no time at all when they opened the door and said, Mr. Shaw, you have a daughter. And now that daughter, Patty, will be 61 years old her next birthday. She's a faithful Christian and a member of the Kenwood Church of Christ. We also have a son, Glenn, who will be 60 years old at his next birthday. He's very successful at his job. And he also is a grandfather. And our baby daughter, Julie, who passed away June of 2016 from cancer, had three daughters and four grandchildren. So time flies. Time flies by. But brethren and friends, we look into the tender face of a baby when we return in what seems to be just a little while, and we find a rugged young man going aggressively into the world to assume a place, confident and unafraid. We look upon a young man in his prime physical condition competing on the athletic field. And then we turn again and we see an old man stooped beneath the burden of years with a face etched by the pen of time and legs that can no longer carry him flying across the field or soaring into the air. If this world and the physical is all that there is, then inevitably disappointment awaits us. We were in the book of Ecclesiastes a little bit ago. In that book, Solomon records his search for the meaning of life. Let's go back, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I want to take the time to read the first 11 verses. Let's look at what it says. Verse 1. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. And I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what that good for the sons of men which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them and all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the son of man as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Listen now. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Throughout the remainder of the book, this richest man on earth would use the phrase under the sun to mean the world, and over he would repeat all his vanity under the sun. His point was, this world and all the things that are in it, where happiness is found nor where true fulfillment can be had. The pursuit of worldly things is not the best way to spend our precious times, brethren. Jesus pointed out the vanity of trusting in this world and its promises in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember what he said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20? Let's read that together. Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Then down in verse 33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when it comes to measuring our days, we must never make the mistake of measuring the success or failure of our lives on the basis of what we have materially. Again, Jesus said, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Time. You know what? Winter began 2 weeks ago. That means fall is ended, and soon spring will be here with all of its planting and its beauty. It'll be followed by summer, and then comes fall again in the harvest time. That's the way life is. There's a planting time and a reaping time. No matter how we spend our time, there are consequences, whether it be good or bad. Look with me at Galatians chapter 6, if you would, please. Take heed to what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul wrote, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hosea graphically described the principles of sowing and reaping and the tragic results of sowing wickedness in Hosea 8 and verse 7 when he wrote, they sow the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. The choice that we make today as to how we're going to spend our time, what we're going to do, put into motion the process that determines what we will reap tomorrow. What do we most want to reap? Well, the answer to that question would determine what we will spend our time sowing. What is more important to us? Is it the physical, the material, the earthly, or is it the spiritual and the harvest that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that will never fade away? Which is it, brethren? Time in time, we will all reap what we sow. And knowing that, how will we spend our time? John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 15 the following, and I asked you to follow along. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. John wrote, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So brothers and sisters, because we cannot know the measure of our days, we need to be so careful in how we and what we have. Every minute of every day is so precious. David wrote in another psalm, in Psalms 90 and verse 12, he says, so teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. You know, I've talked to so many people, young and old, about becoming Christians. Some right here. And the answer has been something like this. Well, I intend to, but not yet. I want to wait a while. I want to live in sin just a little longer, they're saying. But here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like all of you who are not Christians to do something with me right now. Just privately and to yourselves, state the date when you intend to be baptized into Christ. Have you done that? Now state the date when you're going to die. If you don't know the second date, then I beseech you and beg you not to delay the first. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, these words. He said, "See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now quickly, if you would, turn over to Romans 13, and we'll read verse 11 together. Romans chapter 13. Paul wrote in verse 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." Listen now. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We don't know. The world could come to an end any minute. We could die any minute. To put it another way, don't waste time. Do what you should do now, right now. Paul told us in Romans 15 and verse 4, "The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning." That's the Old Testament. I want to see how the Hebrew writer warns us not to do the same thing that the Israelites did in neglecting to hear God's warnings. Let's go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read down through verse 19. The Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief." God has promised an eternal home with him to all, with him to all that obey the gospel. But if we fail to do as God says, we forfeit that promise for ourselves. So my brethren and friends, we need to redeem the time, using every moment to seek after the things of God. And as we begin to bring our lesson to a close, I'd like for you to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Brethren and friends, in this life we walk by faith, but in heaven we will walk by sight. We shall see the things that are now invisible. What is our goal in life? Where are we looking for fulfillment? Well, Abraham gives us a good example. We're told that he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Evidently, Abraham instilled the same goal in Isaac and Jacob because we're told they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly. That ought to be our goal for every one of us, because Jesus Christ died for us so that we can have salvation. Because he rose from the dead, we can be rest assured that we will rise too. And because he ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us, we can rest assured that he will return and take his people home to heaven with him. What an assurance we have. So brethren and friends, and brothers and sisters, we should all live with the realization that any time we could leave this world and our next appointment will be the judgment. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And brethren, we need to set our goals. We need to live our lives and use our time so that we can all say with Paul from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the time that God gives us, and we need to learn to measure our days. When the house catches on fire, it's too late to get insurance. When the operation begins, it's too late to go on a diet. When the heart attack comes, it's too late to prevent it by proper diet and exercise. And when our life is ended, it's too late to study the Bible, to find out what the Lord wants us to do and then do it. It's too late. This is the only time we have. Use it. I want to come with me to one last passage, if you would. That's Job chapter 9. Job observed in chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. He said, "Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey." Time quickly changes the world that we know. Our bodies age, our families grow older and leaves, our friends die, our things decay, and it is as Theodore Brennan describes in his poem, "Those Wasted Years," and I want to read that poem to you, "Those Wasted Years." He said, "I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground, the fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown, with thorns and nestles everywhere the seeds neglect has sown. The years had passed while I cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go while minding the things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, 'O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for Thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make Him Lord of all.'" As sobering it is as it is to see time fly by, the most sobering realities of life will not be seen in this world. Time is quickly turning the pages of life for a reason. Each day pushes us one day closer to the day when time must end, when we will give an account for the use of our time. Are you prepared for that day? Have you met your purpose of time by being found in Christ? You enter Him by obeying the gospel. You remain in Him by maintaining your faith. And if you're living in any other way, you're wasting what little time you have left in this fleeting journey. And if you're not in Christ, don't fret, because you have time. You can take care of that this very morning. You do that by coming forward and we sing the invitation song, repenting of your sins, confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God because He most assuredly is, and then being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if this is the day that Jesus comes back, we all go home together. Won't that be wonderful? We don't know. We may not even be able to leave here this morning. Jesus may come back any moment. So why take a chance? He did the hard part. He hung on that cross for us so that we, as sinners, can have that hope of eternal life for Him. We don't have to do anything other than be baptized for the remission of our sins and then live faithfully. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That don't seem like something so hard to do. And it's not. So if you're a Christian here who have fallen away, you can take care of that too. You do that by coming forward, repenting of your sins to God, and then letting us know that you have repented, and let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone in any way make your life right with God, please come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.